Hey, this is Maddie.
And this is Coco.
And this is Spill the Mead,
a history gossip podcast.
Whoop!
Bitch the pot, the tea is hot. It's so hot.
Oh my gosh, it's your first episode.
I know, it is my first episode.
We're here in Pendleton, Oregon, scenic Pendleton, Oregon.
And we're having a slumber party. It's really cute.
It's so cute. And we have like matching leopard pajamas.
Yeah, we're very, very cute.
We're in our little hotel. Like, we have a room divider with like foam on it to like cut noise down. And like, we're just like in a little corner, just nestled in.
Yeah.
We get to hear from Coco this time. It's not me yapping your ear off for 10 hours.
Oh, I am a world-class yapper. So yes. Get ready.
Let's go. Oh my gosh. And this is like, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you about someone in history that I really love. Uh-huh. Like a lot. Like, I don't even know why I love her so much, but just like I do. And maybe you will love her too.
I already do. Like, full forearm tattoo.
I do. Yeah. Her face is literally tattooed on my body.
That is the vibe. Like, I love it so much. And I've never heard of her.
Okay.
Like, and so this is like it when you said like, oh my gosh, and I love blah, I was like, who? And you're like, well, there's my first episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you about her because there was a huge campaign to wipe everything about her out and erase her from history. So but because archaeologists are cool and they do science and history and research, we know about her.
Ooh, they tried to wipe her out. Ooh, I love that.
And that's actually where the story starts, is with a German team of archaeologists in 1912.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And so they're in Egypt because our story takes place in Egypt.
Okay.
And so they're like in the middle of the desert, And in the ancient city of Amarna.
Okay.
And they're like digging.
Dig. Name that Disney movie.
They are in this, what they've identified as this sculptor's workshop.
Oh my god.
They even know the name of the sculptor. His name was Tutmos. They can tell it was an artist studio, and they found like shards of pottery and little bits of stuff here and there, like little broken pieces of statues.
Yeah.
And they just keep digging, hoping to find something. And it's December and it's hot and the air is like really dry.
In the middle of a desert.
And they're digging and they come across this like splash of color. And they dig further and they find buried in the sand like the most beautiful statue bust ever.
Oh my god.
And you know, a bust is like the head and the neck and the shoulders like about to the collarbone.
Busts like fell off, you know? Like they at did. Some point people were like, we don't need to do that anymore. Like photographs exist and stuff. One of my relatives, like great, like my great grandmother's sister, whatever that is, like great great aunt, I guess, I don't know, was an artist, and she sculpted my great grandmother's bust. And so there's like this bust, and like she just like was wearing like this fucking V-neck shirt, I don't know, and it was like really modern, all painted and everything, and it would like grew a little bit like in the like kiln. So it's like a little bigger. It's huge. This bust is huge. And it like it made its way around the family, like going like member to member, because like, what do you do with this?
Yeah.
You know?
Do we really need great grandmother staring at us from the mantle?
It's like well done and like painted and like the wrinkled. Like it's just a lot. And like, where do you put this in your home?
Yeah.
And it's like eerie. And so it got like passed around and it ends up like at my grandparents' house where my mom and I were living. And it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Terrified. Because I'm two.
Yeah.
And have very little experience in the world. And so my family, they're like, oh my god, that scares her. fun. And so they ended up like telling me that like that was like my real great grandmother's head, and they like cut it off and like they put it in an oven and baked it. No. And like that's why it was like hard and like they'd like move it around the house and shit. Like,
did you like have nightmares still?
They would be like, hey, can you like go grab this out of this room and stuff? Not. And like the fucking head would be in there. And like the fucking thing is like we're like talking about this at one point, like recently, like a couple of years ago. And they're like, wow, yeah, sorry about that. Because I'm like, yeah, like, where is that? And everyone's like, huh,
where is it?
And at first I'm like, fuck off, where is it? And like, genuinely no one in the family knows where this fucking thing is. Someone's gonna stumble across it and then it's gonna be their fucking problem.
That sounds like a Nancy Drew novel. It's like Maddie and the Mystery of Grandmother's Head.
Happy first episode. Let me go off for 45 minutes about some trauma.
No, it's relevant. It's relevant because busts are scary. And also, it's a good point because a lot of times the busts that we see represented from ancient culture, they're not painted.
Yes, right. Yeah,
they're the stone because the paint has worn away.
Yeah.
This bust was painted.
It's painted. It's vibrant.
So vibrant.
This is going to be someone's exact podcast episode 500 years from now. Yeah. Like, they dug up grandmother's fucking head.
They're going to be like, this is what we know.
This is what we know about this person. Clearly an extremely important person. Research shows actually this is someone's actual human head that they cut off and put in a kiln. And then it grew a little bit and got hard, and that's why.
Well, this particular bust that we found in the sculptor Tutmosis' workshop was also painted and beautiful and very vibrant. Very vibrant. So I'm going to tell you about this bust.
Okay. Oh my God.
So it's 19 inches tall.
Ooh.
Which is like a foot and a half-ish. Yeah. So
that
like
sounds
big.
Right. Yeah.
And it weighs 44 pounds. So it's a big bust too. It may be also overcooked in the kiln and expanded a little bit. I don't know. And the bust is made of limestone. So limestone in the middle. And then it has all these like layers of stucco on it that they use to create the shape of the face. The shape of the face is really beautiful. Like an elegant jawline.
Oh my God.
Chiseled cheekbones and these big, full, pouty lips.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And this aristocratic nose. It's like very gentle and sloping. And then beautiful, like almond shaped eyes with these arched, like finely arched eyebrows.
Yeah.
And then the right eye has this piece of quartz like set into it to look like the iris.
Okay.
And it's beautiful.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah. It's missing from the left eye, but at one point they matched.
Yeah.
But the quartz is so pretty that it looks like it gives life to it.
No, yeah, like that shine.
Yeah.
They're like falling in love with this.
Oh yes.
But they're like
beautiful bronze painted skin.
Oh my God.
And then she's wearing this crazy, like super tall blue flat top crown.
Ooh,
which
yes,
is not,
I can picture that.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Yeah.
And it's not traditional to see that on a woman, like a statue of a woman. So they're like a little confused about this.
Ooh.
And there are these gold like ribbons wrapped around it. It looks like a diadem.
Yeah.
And at the front, in the middle of it, there's like a broken off piece, but it was the head of a cobra.
Oh my God. Whatever.
Like, yeah. And it symbolizes royalty. So they're looking at this and like, oh, we fucking found something.
Yeah.
Like long, slender neck. There's across like the collarbone area. It's like this super intricately, beautifully colored collar. Like it would have been the collar of her dress and this really pretty flowered design.
Oh,
it's so pretty.
And
it's
they
so pretty.
Like would have worn that. Like that's what it would have fucking looked like for real.
For real.
You know, like that's like looking at those busts or like looking at
it has
her,
the really
right?
tall crown on.
Oh
too.
Yeah. So that would almost be like life.
Yeah.
Like looking at the person. Like,
yes.
Oh my God. I
think
I can't. So.
It's so pretty.
And like seeing the colors of what they would have wore and like how she was wearing flowers.
Yeah. And how her eyes just look like somehow the sculptor did a really good job of making her look like intelligent and just like she's like just looking into you. Even though she only has the one eye piece remaining, it's still like you almost don't even miss the other one.
Yeah.
It's just captivating.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm in love.
It's perfect Egyptian opulence, right? Like ancient Egyptian opulence, what you think of during that time period.
Yeah.
So like just imagine it. You're digging in just shards of stuff, and then this gorgeous bust just reveals itself to you like a gift from the desert.
Like a literal, like it just in a sea of beige.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Picking that up like out of the sand. Color's still there. Yeah. Like I can't.
Yeah. And the Egyptian heat is somehow really good at, I guess, preserving that.
God bless. I can't wait. I have not seen this.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
Oh my god.
The German archaeologist, his name was Ludwig Borchardt.
Okay.
Which I maybe butchered, but I tried really hard. Well, he was really, really ecstatic about finding this. Like, yeah. Jumping for fucking joy.
Oh my god.
He wrote in his diary, he says, quote, "Suddenly we had in our hands the most alive Egyptian artwork. You cannot describe it with words. You must see it." End quote.
God, I know I want to see it.
Oh yeah, you're going to see it. I'm going to show you. You're going to be like fucking tired of seeing it.
You have like described it. So like, I feel like, oh my gosh. The most alive piece.
The most alive piece, yeah.
Oh.
And he was so excited about it that he was a little bit shady.
Okay.
And fibbed to the Egyptian Board of Antiquities.
Mm,
because even in 1912, there were laws about if you come here and dig, you have to show us what you found. You can't just like roll out of the country with it.
That's fair.
You've been pillaging Egypt, taking its beautiful art and artifacts and just stashing them. I'm looking at you, British History Museum. Like stashing them in and the Louvre, you're also culpable. It's great that you can go and see these at places like that, but also we should return the artifacts.
We can like go look at them in Egypt too.
Yeah.
Cue in the Nika Riot episode. Yeah. We were doing this back in like the chariot racing days. Like, let's steal things from Egypt and put it in the middle of our chariot stadium, like so we can gawk at it.
Yeah.
So, dang it, you guys, like, but you can gawk at it. Okay, no, I think that it is very, very fair for them to be like, I think that we would like to see what you dug up.
Thank you. They're like, you can't just like, it's like customs. You can't just take it through customs.
No, yeah, you have to be like, I'm bringing this apple.
Yeah.
Back. And they'll be like, okay, but we're going to miss it. We're documenting.
So Ludwig is, he just lies. He just tells a great big lie. He's like, yeah, no, it's not that great. It's just like, you could find this anywhere. It's fine. And in fact, he doesn't even let them look at it. He has it already like nailed in a crate being shipped back. Like, he snuck it out.
Okay.
And so they're like, okay, well, they didn't know what it was that they had lost until later.
God, no.
Yeah.
Ludwig, my guy. I was rooting for him.
Well,
I was happy for him. I was on his side.
I'm just happy that now we have rules about antiquities, you know?
Now, like, someone from Egypt needs to put eyes on the artifact matter what it is. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Like, look at it. Yeah. Oh, man.
So he sends it back to Germany for display in the Berlin Museum, and they still have it there.
Okay.
And they refuse to return it after, like, so many requests and demands and even threats from Egypt. Egypt's like, hey, that is so culturally significant to us, and we want it back so much that we will trade you all of these other artifacts for it if you'll just give it back to us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and Germany's like, not just no, but fuck no.
Yeah.
Like, this is how hard they went down the fuck no road, okay?
Okay, oh, God.
Egypt threatens to ban all German excavations.
Oh!
Unless the bust is returned.
Give it to them.
Exchange the other artifacts, all of it, and Germany just says no, no, no. Even fucking Hitler loved this bust and said, quote, "I will never relinquish the head of the queen," end quote.
Oh, for fucking hell's sakes, he's like, Adolf.
No, like, seriously, he goes, "I'm going to build an entire museum just for her and put her head in the fucking middle of it." And he says, quote, "In the middle, this wonder will be enthroned," end quote.
No, they want her back.
Yeah, they want her back.
I hope she's, like, haunting their ship.
Oh.
Like, a little bit. Like, put me back.
Well, I think that right after 1912, like, maybe some stuff. I mean, maybe you might have a point, Maddie.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, good. Yeah. Good for her. Like, she should raise a little hell. Be like, hello.
Yeah, so she enters, like, the world stage and just takes the world by storm. Because, you know, like, in the early 1900s, Egyptian artwork was everything. Like, girls are walking around with, like, the head heavy eyeliner was inspired by the Egyptian Kohl look, and like Egypt mania was like a thing.
It was, yeah.
So it's a perfect time for her to enter, like, she's featured on magazine covers, and she's just all over in newspapers and newsreels, all of it, all
the
time.
Yeah.
And she's been called a unique masterpiece, an ornament to Egypt, a true treasure.
Egypt will cite their sword. They'll be like, hey, a German guy found this, and for sure give credit, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're like, nope, this is ours.
Are
we gonna have a heist?
If we were, who would be down?
Yeah.
Like, would you?
Do you want to help us plan a heist?
Like, hypothetically, we're not going to.
No, absolutely we would not do that, but maybe we would.
That would be illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is lying in the first place.
Ludwig, you started it.
Lion Ludwig
in his diary. Okay, so she's also had an influence on pop culture. Lots of movies and films. She even inspired the hair and makeup look for The Bride of Frankenstein, that movie.
Ooh.
Like the super tall hair with the white streak in it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was based off of her headdress that she's wearing.
Oh my gosh, what a fucking icon.
Yeah, and when you look at the bust, you can see why people have fallen in love with her and why the person it represents, she's been called the most beautiful woman in all of history.
Oh my God.
Yeah, forget Helen of Troy.
Yeah.
Her face launched 1,000 ships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this is truly a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman has come, and that's where we learned her name, because a beautiful woman has come literally translates to Nefertiti.
A beautiful woman.
This is the bust of the queen Nefertiti.
I had never heard her name ever until you're like, she is like my favorite, my girl.
Yeah,
like
I love her.
Let me see the tattoo.
Okay, right on my arm.
Gosh, she is so beautiful.
And this is the hat, and that's the cobra.
That's some lime work, honey.
I do want to shout out Tyler at Lucky Number 3 Tattoo.
Oh my gosh, that is beautiful. Yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah, so you cannot look at this bust without wondering who was this like enigmatic woman. Yeah. Who was this? Because it's captivating. You just look at her and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
So beautiful, but she also looks wise. So who was she?
Fill it, Coco.
Nefertiti was born sometime in the 14th century BC.
Ooh, this
so
is ancient.
1,300 years before Jesus.
God.
Before Jesus.
That's a long fucking time ago. That's so long before Jesus. Oh mm-hmm. my God.
Yep.
Beautiful woman is coming. I still like can't get past that.
I know.
What is your name mean, Coco?
My name means... Girl, mom, you could have named me Nefertiti. A beautiful woman has come. Instead, you're like, this is my daughter. Girl.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah, don't overthink it. My mom had these plaques on the refrigerator growing up that listed my name and my little sister's name and the name meanings, right? Okay. And so my name just means girl. And then my sister's name means praised one. Yeah, that really resonated.
It just like the motherly love blindness of like, I don't understand.
But
that's your name. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It means girl.
Praised
one, praised mother. One. They're hanging next to each other.
And I have to look at this every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a beautiful woman has come. We know when she lived because we know who she was married to. She's married to Amenhotep IV, who reigned from 1353 to 1336 BC.
Okay, that's a long time.
It's a very long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. BC math, like, fucks me up so
bad. Me too, because it's backwards.
Yeah, God, and I can't do math forwards. Yeah. So that is a long time, though.
It's like 17 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty much 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a long time in an ancient culture.
It's so long.
Yeah. And also because, you know, she's a woman and it's from ancient times, we don't know who her parents are. Mm-hmm. There's speculations. There's two options that they think. They think either she was a Mitanni princess.
Okay.
Which is now, like, Mitanni is modern day Syria.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I know. Very cool. So either that, or she was the daughter of this Egyptian courtier, because even back then they had like people who just, that was their job, was to be at court and keep the king company.
Yeah, yeah.
And his name was Ai, and he was the brother of Amenhotep's mother, Queen T.
I and T.
I know. And I think it's T. I think it's tea. T-I-Y-E. Ooh. It could be Thai.
Yeah.
It could be tea. It could okay. be Thai. I don't know. Somebody who knows, yeah. just tell me because I want to do it correctly.
It's one of those things that probably sounds like just absolutely beautiful if someone from Egypt like,
yeah.
said it.
Not me know. With my harsh P&W
The Pacific tones. Northwest isn't doing it.
yeah.
Nefertiti.
Nefertiti. yeah. So they could have been cousins or she could have been a princess from a distant land.
Okay.
And we don't know.
One or the other.
The only thing we do know for sure is that she had a little sister.
Okay. Yeah. Cute.
She had a little sister and that's really the only time she comes up. We don't know anything else about her. So she would have been young. She would have been young when they got married because he was young too. Okay. So she would have probably been between 12 and 16, which honestly on the ancient scale of things is not that terrible.
Yeah. I was prepared for something wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is very young.
It is young. Yeah. But he would have been like 16 to 18. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. it's not like he was 40 marrying a 12-year-old. Yes, yes.
At the time, this would have been like a very standard marriage.
Super normal. Yeah. Yes, super normal. Imagine a huge fucking party.
Yes.
Huge ceremony with feasting and beer and mead. We don't know a lot about their wedding ceremonies, but they're a huge party, lots of feasting, dancing, and then they would have given little gifts to each other.
The husband and wife would have?
Yeah.
That's cute.
It's really, really cute.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And Nefertiti would have gotten ready for her wedding by doing all kinds of beauty rituals. That was a thing.
Oh my God.
Milk baths and Dead Sea salt scrubs. So like a lot of the things that we still do now.
Dead Sea salt scrubs. Sounds great.
Yeah. Use honey as a skin treatment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She is soft and glowing.
Soft and glowing. And milk sweet. And honey face masks. He also did like body sugaring.
What?
Ooh. It's like a hair removal. So like any unwanted body hair that they didn't want to have.
Yeah, yeah.
They would sugar it.
The Egyptians.
And that's still a practice. People still do hair sugaring. So she would have worn a perfumed cone in her hair of like frankincense or myrrh, like those famous scents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
That's what you did to make you smell good.
Yeah.
And it would just like melt into your wig that you were wearing because it was also super normal. Women had shaved heads and they would wear different wigs. And that was to help mitigate lice.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, like that sounds
It's so nice fucking hot
too.
In
Yeah, I was going to say like, just like shave the whole thing.
And then you can take it off when you go to sleep.
You can take it off when you go to sleep. You can like style it like not on your head.
Yeah.
That's it. And just like pop it. I can see the benefits.
And she would have had multiple wigs. Like, and the wigs would have had like small intricate braids little gold ornaments twined into them. It would have been so very, very pretty.
I wonder if they like even, because like everyone knew that everyone was wearing a wig, right? Like, I wonder if they like looked real. Like, if they even tried to make it look like.
Yeah, I don't
like
know.
How obviously, like, I'm not saying like had a lace front wig or something back then, but like, I wonder if it was just like extremely obvious that everyone was wearing a wig and it was just who had the coolest one, or if it was like supposed to give the illusion that this was your real hair,
Like different quality, different class levels, probably.
Yeah, or like lengths. Like, I wonder. Yeah, just so many wonderings.
So she would have been wearing that and she would have lined her eyes with like thick black kohl eyeliner, like K-O-H-L, not C-O-A-L. Mm-hmm, but like it would have been really, really pretty, like very prominent, enhanced, beautiful. Yes. Like she also would have like powdered her skin with gold dust.
Oh my God.
She would have been literally glowing. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah, no. That is like, oh God, no, I can't imagine.
And she already has this like gorgeous bronze skin.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's
just so striking. So striking. Like a beautiful woman has come.
The black eyeliner, like thank you, ancient Egyptian.
Yes.
Love that for all of us. Yeah. Like just,
you can't see my eyes if I don't have something. I'm so pale.
No, yeah, me too. I have no features. I'm just like a thumb. Like without a leg.
And she would have worn like this beautiful, long, flowing dress made of linen that was so super fine you could mostly see through it.
Okay, God.
With little teeny tiny accordion pleats in it, and it would have looked so pretty and like been gathered at the waist with a belt or just worn loose. She probably would have had a belt because royalty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just another, yeah, another opportunity to throw some bling on it.
And then like a gold collar, necklaces and bracelets. And she would have just been such a stunning thing to look at.
Love to see ancient Egyptian, like opulent fashion. Like it's something like this, like a wedding. An ancient Egyptian bride.
Yeah.
Like I can't. Gold dust. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
God.
So beautiful. That is like a trending theme for her. Her beauty. Her beauty and her status are super prominent here. And something happens that has never really happened before in Egyptian history. Because she's showcased in the art and the images that we have of her today as an equal with her husband. Because usually it's like, here's the pharaoh and then like his wife's somewhere in the back. But all the artwork that we have of the two of them, she's sitting on a throne with him. Or there's some depicting her like smiting their enemies, like the female enemies. They go to war and usually that's a job for the pharaoh. Pharaoh kills the enemies. No, she's doing it. There's like art of her doing it. It's crazy. It seems like they had, like they really did love each other, or he at least very much respected her.
Respected her, yeah. Oh my God. No, they loved each other. They loved each other and they were like the best. Oh no. God, I love them.
There are very few instances. There's like 11 instances throughout Egyptian history where women have taken on the role of pharaoh. Hatshepsut did that, and that was like 100 years before Nefertiti. But she was taking on the role of pharaoh, being the pharaoh in her own right. She wasn't the wife of a pharaoh. For Nefertiti to like, for that to happen and her to be at the forefront of all this stuff, that was just like, that's not what happened with queens. So it's very cool and speaks to their relationship.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's speculated that she may have acted as a queen regnant, not just a queen consort. Ooh. So like she would have advised him or act as regent in his place if he was off doing stuff.
Yeah.
But there's no written evidence to confirm that. Just the interpretation of the art. And she, again, like she's featured.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that does like say so much.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Women who came before and after that ruled in their own right, a very different circumstance. Like Cleopatra, we all know Cleopatra. She had her own power because she took on the mantle of the power. Nefertiti did not have that opportunity at this point in her life. We do know she was a favorite of the pharaoh's many wives because pharaohs at this time would have several wives and concubines.
Okay.
And it was just what they did. It was important to preserve the bloodline and make sure you had male heirs. This is a big male-centric, you pass power on to the males.
God, sucks to be the other wife.
Yeah, a beautiful one has come. Okay, and that's your sister wife.
Yeah. Or it's like, my name means girl.
My name means girl.
Yep. But yeah, he has plaques hung up of their name meanings.
Oh, that's a real thing. That's called a cartouche.
Okay, cool, yeah.
But she was his great royal wife, which means she was the head of all the wives, like the important wife.
Okay.
It was a title that was an elevated status. Like they didn't use the word queen. She was great royal wife.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it appears that they had a happy marriage.
Ooh.
From the way that she's depicted in the artwork, front and center with him, she probably would have counseled him. It's very much like a Henry and Catherine situation here.
I love that.
Yeah.
For them. Okay. Yeah. Because Henry and Catherine were happy. Go listen to all 13 hours of my series. They were happy at one point. Okay.
A very beautifully well-researched series. So, of course, there aren't any firsthand accounts of how happy they were, but it is shown. You can see it. You can just see it everywhere. The forefront with Pharaoh Amenhotep IV, and she's doing those things like smiting the enemies and wearing her own unique crown, because that headdress that we see in the bust, that's like for her.
Oh my gosh.
Women weren't usually given crowns like that. He was like, you need your own shit.
Oh, wait, I love
them. I made you a pretty hat.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
A little power couple.
Yeah.
Ooh, wait, that makes me like him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're about to not, though.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like even on board with like the multiple wives thing. Like I was like going.
Yeah.
Damn it, Minato.
Again, we think they're happy. Like, very soon, within the first year of marriage, she gives birth to their first daughter.
Okay.
And they go on, they have several daughters.
Okay.
Okay, so sometimes it says they have 3 daughters, and sometimes it says they have 6 daughters. And I, honestly, I got mixed information everywhere I looked.
Okay,
so,
gotcha. Between
3 and 6 daughters.
At least 3, as many as 6.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's cute. There's literally art, again, of the two of them as parents, like, playing with their little girls in the garden. Okay? Very cute.
I want to keep liking him, though.
Yeah.
We can't just stop there. Can he just die? Is he just gonna die?
Well,
I don't want it. Okay.
How do you feel about religious persecution, Maddie? Well,
I mean, not super positive about it.
1300 years before Christ. Let's just all remember this.
Right.
At the time that this is happening, Egyptians believe in and they worship a large pantheon of gods. Like, you've got Osiris, you've got Horus, you've got Hathor, all of these different gods, several, and they all do different things. It's like a very intricate creation story with them. Like, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but it is super fucking cool if you're into it.
That's for another episode.
That is for another episode. Yeah, I would love to do that someday.
Ooh, fun.
Everything that you did in your life was rooted in or explained by religion. Like, everything you did, like, the gods provided everything for you, and you actually really believed this.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Honestly, like, honest to gods, there's no science. Like, you really have to put yourself there. What the fuck are you supposed to think? Like, if an eclipse happens, or like,
it's a sign from the gods.
You see not in Egypt or anything, but like, you see a tornado. Like, what the fuck are you supposed to think
what would you think?
You are thinking, like, we have pissed something, or like, the places where like there's like darkness for a long time, like a really bad winter. Like,
absolutely.
What the fuck are you supposed to think that is? Like, you think that is a punishment.
You have other way to explain it.
Yeah.
And when you live in a place like Egypt, which there is plenty of lush, fertile, beautiful land around the Nile, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is not, you can't farm. There are only certain areas that you can do those things.
Yeah.
And so you look at the Nile itself as a god and a provider. Like,
oh yeah.
You have to, because that is the water of life. Like, that's where that saying comes from.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you need water to live. Everything needs water to live. Yeah. Yeah. God, that's like such a hard thing for us now to put. Like, we can't put ourselves there. Like, it's impossible, but we can try really hard.
Exactly. Every single thing you do, the food that you eat, mm-hmm. the shelter, mm-hmm. the sun, the rain when it happens, the Great Nile flood that would happen every year and flood the farmland and make it fertile so you could grow crops and eat again. That was all like gifts from the gods. And you believed that. Religion just, it explained everything.
Yeah.
And an example of one of their gods is Hathor, and she was a cow.
She was sure was.
She was a cow.
She has sweet cow ears.
Yes. Goddess of fertility and motherhood.
Uh-huh.
She protected women in childbirth, and women who wished to become pregnant or who were expecting would do special prayers in honor of her or visit her temple frequently, leaving lots of offerings to her. And they would take images of her with them to the childbed. Like,
it was a huge thing.
It was a huge
thing.
And
all of them had like these huge, I only know about the Temple of Hathor.
Like,
episode, the stairs are melted.
Yes.
Why? Fucking weird, right?
That was one of my favorite episodes ever.
It's like, why are the fucking stairs melted? We don't know. Is it aliens? I don't know. Go listen to it. It's not an ancient alien. Episode, I promise. The temple, like the time that they would dedicate, like, to making these gods happy.
Yes.
Like, because again, even like, I mean, it varies from like person, family, religion to religion and all of that. But like, even today, like, I feel like, again, it varies, but like a lot of people, like a lot of religions, it's customary to go to church like once, maybe twice a week or something. You know, like religion kind of takes over a part of your day. Like, that's when you're worshiping. Like, no, this is every fucking day in and day out, like when so much of your day and your job and like everything like that is to like fucking survive.
Yeah,
you know, like it's so much more than,
you don't want to risk angering the gods.
Nope.
Or displeasing them in any way.
There's a god for everything.
There's a god for everything.
So specific.
And Hathor is a good one for me to give an example of because it's going to come up again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Nefertiti's husband, Amenhotep IV, he starts like I don't know. I don't know if all of these gods are where it's at. I actually... But,
what? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Just like, oh, this thing we've been doing for like 1,000 years or more, because who knows how long we've held this belief, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, I'm just not really feeling it anymore, bro. Okay. Yeah. I think that there's one god. I think the sun disk, Aten, is our one god. And I think that we should only worship him. And when I say we, I really fucking mean we. I mean like me plus all of you, because I'm the pharaoh and you should probably do what I tell you.
That's like such a, like, to just wake up and be like, no, you know what, to like, I've thought about it a little bit and today's the day I'm gonna fucking tell everyone,
yeah,
we're doing it wrong.
We're doing it wrong.
And we have been. And like, forget all of those gods. That's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
To like the farmer out there who's like, what do you, so I don't give this thing to the Nile, what do you mean?
Yeah,
like, but what will happen to me?
What will, like, no, because seriously, that's the thing that is completely changing every single person's entire core belief system.
Yeah,
which you can't actually do. You can't program people what to think or believe. We've tried that. It does not work.
It doesn't work. Time and time again. Yeah,
it just makes everybody miserable and rioty. Yeah,
yeah. It doesn't matter the time. Doesn't really matter the location. Like, no, it has not worked.
It has never ever worked. It's like one of the first recorded. Hey, let's try monotheism. He's like, we really like Aten. That's who it is now. All of these other temples that are all over this fucking city, no, that are dedicated to all these other gods with their own cults, no, and their own, yeah, priests and priestesses and their own followers with their own jobs that they do every day that are just devoted to that. Yeah, that's over.
Yeah,
it's all Aten now. And even my name has to change because I'm so important and I am his representative on earth. I'm actually his son and I came here.
He had a dream. He had a fucking dream, for sure.
And
like the one batch of wine fermented too long. He got the, yeah, and he like got a little trippy and was like, wait, this is a colossal little change.
So his name is Amenhotep. Uh-huh. The first four letters of that, A-M-E-N, that's Amen, the god, one of the prominent gods in this pantheon that they'd been worshiping, yeah, just, all these years.
Just forever, yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, I don't really like that name anymore. I'm not vibing. So I'm going to change my name to Akhenaten because I'm going to honor Aten so much. I'm putting like, his name in my name. Like, we're bros. It's fine.
He's my dad.
Seriously. Yeah, that's what he starts telling everybody.
He's like, I'm going to change my name.
Yeah.
His mom's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, so he just tells everybody, you're only going to worship this guy. Sorry.
Just like, he really thinks that everyone's going to be like, yep, okay.
And the god that he picks is literally, it doesn't even have a face. It's a disc. It's a sun disc. It looks like a frisbee on all this.
It's just, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, just, so okay, that's a bold choice, but
yeah,
do you, bro.
Settle on that one.
Forget the old gods, guys. We're doing this now. And also, hey, my smoking hot wife over here, Nefertiti, she's a fertility goddess. So remember when you were like, all that shit you were doing with Hathor? Not anymore. No, no. Now it's Nefertiti. She is your goddess of fertility.
She's like, whoa.
You can worship her.
Yeah. Okay.
And I have no idea how she felt about this. Yeah. I mean, part of me is like, she was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Honey, this is a lot of attention. I'm not really into it, I think. And the other part of me is like, was she just like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She's like having babies back to back. And so she is the picture of like fertility. And
okay,
this is when the artwork in Egypt starts to change. Like, because traditionally, very like chiseled, beautiful faces that you see.
Yeah.
And in this time period under Akhenaten and Nefertiti, the artwork changes where they start to look more like the bellies get rounded and the faces get longer. And that's kind of what starts to inspire these ancient alien shows that we have right now, because they're like, if you look at the art, it changes. Like, there were visitors and like,
listen,
seriously.
I fucking love ancient aliens.
I know,
like,
I do too.
That is my show. I know. Like, it's so
it's a guilty pleasure.
Deliciously bad.
Akhenaten and Nefertiti start being like, it's just like a little more real looking, not like these perfectly slender, like almost angular,
gotcha,
bodies,
okay,
in the art.
Yeah.
But like rounded bellies and
okay,
like,
yeah, yeah,
longer limbs. And it's actually, it's beautiful. And it's, yeah, not that crazy. It's just like longer faces and probably more realistic than the,
okay,
the,
yeah,
previous,
yeah, yeah,
art. But it's very different.
Yeah.
It's very different than what came before. And I'll put up some pictures of it so you can see it. Because it's,
this guy is just like, fuck it. We're changing it,
yeah,
on right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Everything out with the old and with the new.
Yeah.
Art, gods, everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and more. He's about to do more.
Okay.
Because then he's like, okay, oh, so remember how we all have lived in the same capital city?
Jesse's killing me.
Okay. We've lived like here since like Egypt started. Okay. Yeah, I don't really like it here anymore, guys.
He hates routine.
I'm the king of all of you. And I think that we should move to a new city, a city that hasn't been built yet. And you guys should like build it for me.
Okay.
I've been drawing up some plans. Here's how I want it designed.
I'm sure it's very practical.
Yeah. So think of this ancient city that you're living in. And even then at this time, it's an ancient city. Ancient Egyptians have archaeologists like in their own time period. A lot of them don't even know, like at the time the pyramids were built, the Sphinx was already so old. They didn't know who built it.
I like did not.
It's cool. Timeline. I know. It's crazy. It's crazy, right?
Ancient Egypt has archaeologists. It's like a really like blowing my mind.
Yeah. So, but imagine you live in this old city. Yeah. It's well established. There's roads. There's marketplaces. There's temples everywhere. Yeah. It's by the Nile-ish area, so it's you can farm. It's lush. There's like it's established.
Everything's like fine. Like everything's fine.
Yeah, and there's beautiful art and architecture. Yeah. And yeah. Oh, and he's like, let's move to the middle of the desert. Why? Like, let's just move there.
What's he doing?
And this like beautiful city built of sandstone that's like sturdy and good. I think if we could just like make some mud brick, like a city of mud bricks, that's fine. It'll work, right? So he makes all of the people move. They all have to move.
Just like have to do it. And it was fine. They just like are like walking and like looking behind them. Like it's just, but everything was fine.
Everything,
like,
it was great. Yeah.
It's not like there's no, we don't have to. What a hassle, my dude.
It's, like, it's like the desecration of the monasteries, closing all those temples.
Yeah.
Temples were a place where not just for worship, but like they took care of the poor and the sick.
Oh,
and like,
God. Yeah, no, people
travelers
would, like,
could stay, you know, like
they it like was helped like a, the people. Yes. Yeah, like that. It was.
And when you get rid of that, you're going to create unrest and unruliness and unhappy people. But also he controls like the army and, you know, everything. He's rich and powerful and he just like decided one day and they all had to do it. So they all do it. People are confused. Yeah. People are pissed. And
what a choice.
They honestly believe that the Pharaoh is the representative of God on earth. Like they really believe that of their gods. They're like, okay, all right. Yeah, we believe you.
These ancient places, like, people don't live there anymore.
Right.
At one point, someone walked away. Like the last person left those ruins for the last time and no one ever went back.
Right.
And it's like, how did that happen? It's like, it's shit like this.
It's shit like this.
I guess like,
I'm going to change my name and you're all going to change your lives and it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Like you think it's like some, you know, like, which I'm sure it was like a natural disaster, like a war. Like I'm sure that happened a lot, but like, sometimes it's just shit like this.
Yeah.
My guy, he's a Sagittarius.
He's gotta be.
This is chaotic. This is let's move. This is uprooting.
And Nefertiti is just busy bearing and rearing six daughters. Six. I think it's probably six.
It's probably, yeah, I'm gonna go with six at this point. God, now she has to move in the desert.
Now she has to move in the desert with her six little girls. And this is a culture that really prizes sons and male inheritance, male pharaohs, all of that. But he super loves his six little girls, you can tell. Again, the art featuring them.
He has like glimmers though, where I still kind of like him.
And Nefertiti becomes even more prominently featured in all the art here. There's like even more of her. Again, she's not behind him. She's on the throne. She's wearing the crown. And they change her name too. And this is really hard to say, so bear with me here because I am not a linguist. From Nefertiti to Nefer-Nefer-Uatun.
Okay.
And that means beautiful is the beauty of Aten.
Okay.
So they were calling her Nefer-Nefer-Uatun Nefertiti.
Nefer-Nefer-Uatun Nefertiti.
Yeah. Beautiful is the beauty of Aten. A beautiful woman has come.
Gosh.
That's a mouthful.
That is, the beautiful,
and here
beautiful
I am,
mouthful.
Just girl.
Girl.
They use the six little princesses as evidence of her fertility, and this is why she's our fertility goddess, and they're just like blasted everywhere, like PR, propaganda,
right.
Like it's happening.
That is like, he's definitely like that ruler who's like, no, yeah, I'm God. Like it doesn't matter that we're very male centric, like I have six daughters, fuck you, I'm putting them all over everything because I'm God.
And he's just over here building new directing people to uproot their lives and build new cities, and she's over here birthing kids, and you have to wonder if she's just like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Can you just like come home for dinner and we'll be fine?
Like, all you do is like come back here and bang me and leave and go build mud cities in the middle of the desert.
Or,
and just one more time, really quick, everything was fine, my guy.
Yeah.
Everything
or,
was good.
Or do you think she's like, no, I support you. This is a really good idea. Let's be a god and goddess and like create a new Mecca, like a new way.
Yeah, maybe she's like, I thought about it and I want to change my name too. Like, this is what, who knows?
But she's really busy being a MILF. Like, that's her job.
Yeah.
She's doing it. She's killing it.
She's on a blast. Yeah.
So everybody picks up and moves to the new city, Amarna.
Okay.
And that's where the German archaeologists found the best, remember? That's where Ludwig found her.
Fucking Ludwig.
Ludwig, yeah.
God damn it. Yeah, he lied. Lying Ludwig.
Yeah, this new place is just sand, and here they go, here they start. And in the new city that they start building, in the ruins that we found now, we see evidence of two other queens.
Okay.
Two other queens. And one of them is his mom, Queen T. That we decided to call her T, like spilling the tea. And then a secondary wife of his.
Okay.
And her name's Kia. So, like,
I just, like, also feel, God, sorry, I just, like, really can't let this go because I just can't. I'm so annoyed for them. Everything was fine.
Everything was fine.
They didn't have to build anything. Now they all have to go build a whole fucking, that is such a pain in the ass.
Well, and again, if you're building a city, you're not farming.
You're not farming.
You're not selling goods in the marketplace. You're not trading
you
with your neighbors.
You don't have anywhere to live. You have to build a place to live and then build a city. Or, like, maybe in the other order because who even fucking knows.
Who knows
anymore?
We don't,
like,
even really know how it there we don't is, actually even know. There's speculation how it went down, but we don't really know.
Yeah, no, that's,
and I'll tell you why later.
No, just leave me here. Can you just kill me?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to. I'm going to Hathor.
Kia does something that Nefertiti has not been able to do, and she gives birth to a son. So we know that Akhenaten called Kia his greatly beloved wife because that is written on her tomb.
Okay.
We don't know how she died. We don't know what day-to-day life would have been like for them together. Like, were they rivals?
Yeah.
Did they hate each other?
Did they see each other?
Were they friends? Did they just understand this is how this works?
Yeah.
Or was Nefertiti like, no, I am the queen. Was it hard for her?
Yeah,
was she jealous? Who knows?
God, who knows?
It's totally normal for pharaohs at the time to take several wives. We know that.
Right. God, yeah, and I wonder if they, God, because, like, we don't know. What if, like, the dynamic could have been anything? What if they would have been, like, excited every time?
Yeah.
Like, very, like, oh my God, another, like, friend I hate. Like,
yeah.
Or it could have been, like, we never even fucking see each other. Like,
we
it could
know.
Be so many things.
Because of all the art we have and the way that she's portrayed, we know that he loved her and they were, like, a love match-ish.
Okay.
It's just, it would have just been hard because she would have loved her husband and that it would be really difficult to watch somebody give birth to your husband's child. The age and civilization in which we're living.
Well, and then, like, again, everything's so, like, male-centric.
Yeah.
There's still that whole, like, I guess we don't know. I don't know why I'm assuming that Kia had one kid right out of the chute and it was a boy. We don't know that. It could have been, like, she could have had a lot of girls, too, I guess.
Yeah,
and then
who knows?
A boy. I don't know. Yeah, there's still that moment of, like, why did she get the
boy?
And, like, what does that mean
if I'm
for
the
my
great
daughters?
Honored wife and I'm the fertility goddess.
Yeah. What does
why
that
is
mean
she
for
having?
Me?
Yeah. And it was important to have sons back then because that's who would provide for you in your old age. Like, your sons took care of you.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
if her husband died before her,
yeah.
she would need somebody to care for her.
It's like the daughters are going. Like,
they're
getting married. They're going off to the other fam. So, yeah, you've gotten a home. No!
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, that's stressful.
Yeah, and even if it would have been normal to her, jealousy is a real human emotion.
Yeah, you can't.
We didn't invent it recently.
No, there's feelings there. Again, and it's not just her. It's daughters.
Yeah.
Men do be minning. And, like, even
they
back
do.
Then, she's going to be like, oh, fuck, man. Like, she got that son. Is he going to just fucking leave me?
Is he going to just leave me?
And all of my six daughters. And then
he
what?
Already changed the religion, so
this guy's gonna do whatever the fuck.
It's honestly
He's a little.
This story just makes me think that, like, Henry and Catherine and Anne were reincarnations.
I was literally just going to say, yeah, all of them, like, just came back, like, the next time around, like, this shit again.
You know what, though? Catherine's your girl, too.
Yeah, I love
You've
her.
Got a type. This is your trope.
You this love is my the... trope.
Interesting.
That is. I'm going to have to deep dive that.
Yeah, deep dive that. Ooh. Well, yeah. What's your past life stuff, Coco? What's going on with you? Because this is very similar. Well, and like in Henry too is one of those, like, yeah, because who even fucking knows anymore?
Yeah,
like, no, you can't do that. No one's ever done that. It's like, he just did it 6 times. I don't fucking know anymore. This guy sounds like that guy.
There's just not a lot of detail about this time. Like, there's no diaries. I mean, there are some court records, but they're like, oh, this emissary from this land came and asked us to help them. And Akhenaten was really fucking busy and involved in himself. And he just ignored it because that was happening.
Great.
But we do know that in his 17th year of reigning, he dies. We don't know how.
Okay.
We don't know if he got sick. We don't know if he got murdered. We don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We can speculate illness because his daughters start disappearing from the record at this time too. So there's probably some kind of like illness or plague
going around. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay. His oldest daughter, we know she survives for a bit.
Okay.
Okay. Here's where it gets really juicy though.
Okay.
So Akhenaten dies.
Oh, God. Yeah. Fuck. Oh, shit. Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
And the kingdom is in a bit of turmoil, which is a nice way to say that. Because remember, he'd not only completely decimated the ancient religious practices and traditions.
It's like little Egyptian magic. Yeah. He's like, I'm going back. And you can come with me or not. But I'm crossing this fucking desert. And I'm going back to the perfectly good sandstone city.
We're going to it.
That we can
We're
find.
We're going.
I'm done.
Because he's moved it. He's moved the city. Like, cool. In the middle of the fucking desert, and the really people under his reign are struggling. They want the old ways back. They want the old city. They went from living in a lush oasis to this barren desert and a city that was constructed from stupid mud bricks.
It's mud.
They want to go back. And the king's great wife has only borne him daughters. What's going to happen?
There is
a son, Kia's son, remember, but he's very young. And if there's any sort of rivalry between Kia and Nefertiti, you can bet that Nefertiti's like, she's not handing over the reins. Not handing over the reins of power to her rival son, right?
No, like, check the artwork.
Would you?
Scoreboard.
We're not doing this.
No.
Not doing
You don't
that.
Know how to pharaoh. I know how to pharaoh.
I know how to pharaoh.
I've smited. How many things have you smited?
And out of the woodwork comes a new player we haven't heard of before.
Oh, the fuck. Okay.
This super mysterious person called Smenkari.
Okay.
I know, Smenkari. It just appears on the scene. And we don't know who this was, but there are a couple of possibilities.
Okay.
There's speculation that Smenkari was another son of Akhenaten.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe...
I like that.
A brother or a cousin of him.
Okay.
Who just, like, came and seized power.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't know. It's almost impossible for us to know at this point.
Right.
We just don't know.
It could have just like been some guy.
It is known that Smenkari married the oldest daughter of Nefertiti and Akhenaten, and her name was Mary Totten, which is so cute. Mary Totten.
Oh, that is so cute. Mary Totten, daughter of Akhenaten.
Yes.
That's very cute.
It's rhymey.
And
he named her his great royal wife. But his reign is really short. It's speculated to have lasted only a year. 3 years tops.
Oh, jeez.
And there isn't really much more information about it. The only reason we know the time that he reigned was because there's like a receipt for wine. And at the beginning of 1 year, and it's like Smenkari bought this much wine for the royal court. And then at the end of the year, there's another receipt for wine. And it says Smenkari, but underneath it says deceased. And some archaeologists have speculated.
Receipt. I'm sorry. Just like back then, they had a receipt. Like,
I know.
You keep track of that
on
shit.
A clay tablet.
Yeah. And been like, here you go, sir.
The way that I crumple receipts and shove them in my pocket or in my purse and never look at them again.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need that. Don't give it to me.
Yeah.
But it's a clay tablet receipt.
Yeah,
I would just be Wilma Flintstoning it with like.
Ancient Egyptian Maddie's like dryer would be so fucked with the amount of tablet receipts my husband shoves in his pockets and doesn't take out ever, and it just bounces around.
That's real.
You have to keep it. You got to keep your books straight, even in the BCs.
You do. Taxes are a thing
then too. Get a good accountant.
Probably, and we didn't talk about this, but Akhenaten's probably charging all these people to like live in his tomb city.
I swear to fucking God, he probably is. Like, they can just
just let them go back.
And again, a lot of those records are missing, and you're going to find out why.
They had to walk across a desert.
Yeah.
Not only did they have to build stuff, there was nothing there. There was like a whole, they got there and he's like, yep, this is the place. And
this
they had
to be sand. Like,
that is so annoying.
It is frustrating for sure.
I can't do it. Just fucking be bitching the whole, I don't know why this is like hitting me so hard.
Because.
I cannot handle being uprooted. Like, I'd be so fucking pissed off.
We talked about this before. Once you're home for the day, you're just like home.
Yeah. And that was us getting back to the hotel. We're just like, so.
I'm going to put on jammies, you.
Yeah. It's like, so to be clear, we're not leaving again. Yeah. I don't care what time it is. Makeup's off, jammies on. They're on. They're on right now.
Yeah.
Fuzzy socks on. I'm sitting here like, this is it. We're not leaving.
Some archaeologists have speculated that Smenkhkari is just Nefertiti in disguise.
That's it.
Like, as a male, that's the one. Taking power and proclaiming herself pharaoh.
Yeah. Just like this beautiful. Dude. Just like this fucking gorgeous.
Yes. Okay, but think about the implications of this, because remember, she's a wife of the pharaoh that people are calling a heretic king.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her fate is in jeopardy. She comes up with a wild scheme to assume a new identity and try to hold on to power for the safety of herself and her family.
Yeah.
I would read that novel. Yeah.
Obviously.
Mothers will do anything to protect their children.
Yeah.
Even assume a false identity and claim a kingdom.
Oh my god. Yeah, oh my, easy. That's like bare minimum. Yeah.
But if that is what happened, then it's fucking crazy train bananas.
Okay.
That she would then, in quotes, marry her own daughter, Mary Totten.
Well, but like, if the daughter was in on it.
Thank you.
Okay, that's my right? Next point.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, like.
And by crazy, do I really fucking mean fucking brilliant?
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Save your daughter.
Is there a better way? Is there a better cover story?
No.
She's like, Mom, I'm in.
Yeah.
And like, somebody who's in cahoots with you?
Yeah, they all know everything. And like, she's going to be like, listen, honey, like, you can go find yourself a reliable, like, slam piece.
Yes.
I have your sister and I.
Yeah.
And like, we're just going to do this forever and be besties. Yeah, no, that's brilliant. That's it. And, that is it.
Oh, wait. Because whatever the truth is, it gets crazier.
Okay. Well, okay.
And after this, like, super brief reign of Smenkhkari, another pharaoh we've never, ever heard of before shows up.
Oh, God.
And okay. I'm sorry.
It's Nefertiti in a different disguise.
Yes. Okay. Like, you know, the glasses with the noses and the mustaches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, it's me. I'm new here.
She's just so beautiful is the thing. And everyone's just like, where are all these beautiful men coming from? And where is Nefertiti? Where is she, though?
The name of this pharaoh is Nefer-Nefer-Watten, which is the name she changed her name to earlier.
Yeah, she's just like doing it.
She's not even trying now. And some scholars, definitely, you guys, definitely not the majority of scholars here. This is so speculative. This is so speculative for your entertainment, but also how fun is this?
Okay. Oh my God.
They speculated that this was just Nefertiti or maybe even Mary Totten.
Yeah.
Like mother, like daughter, attempting to reign after the death of Smenkhkari, whoever the fuck Smenkhkari was.
Whoever the fuck that was, yeah. She's like, wait, I want to try.
Oh my God, it's wild on so many levels.
They're buying it. Like, I want to try.
And again, this new pharaoh,
very
short-lived.
I mean, I'm sure that there's, like, more to it. It's just, like, you just, like, walking in and being like, I'm pharaoh now.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay.
Did
like,
you see me? This is my hat. I am pharaoh.
Yeah. And they're like, well, I mean, he's wearing the hat.
Just, we don't have hard facts. We just have speculation. And a lot of different scholars, like, regularly fight over this.
Yeah.
Some are like, you're crazy. And some are like, no, you're crazy because you don't believe. You just gotta let your heart guide you. Yeah. This is because the next person to step up to the pyramid. Ha ha, step up. The next pharaoh is that little boy that we discussed earlier, Kia's son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's actually him.
It's Kia's son, Tutankhaten.
Maybe her and Kia were like super good friends, and then she was in on it, and they're like, we just have to hold it until he's old enough.
Well, Tutankhaten is a baby. He's like 9.
Oh, okay. Well,
super heavily influenced by royal court and an ever increasingly salty population of people who were just like, can we go home?
It's now?
I want to go home.
I would be in this 9-year-old space being like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, and I want my old gods back because this shit sucks. I want my old gods that were doing things for me, not this weird frisbee.
Yeah, Hathor never made me build mud cities.
And the new pharaoh, sweet little baby.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, you can have what you want. He's like, angel. He steps up. He says, this is crazy.
Yeah.
The people are rioting. I've got to fix it. He denounces all three previous pharaohs. It's
fucking nice.
He names them all as heretics.
Yeah.
He's like,
literal child.
They were bad.
Yeah.
He moves the capital city back to where it had been before.
Everyone just like picture a 10-year-old.
He restores the previous religion.
Yeah.
And whether it was him or the common people, yeah. Akhenaten, uh-huh. Nefertiti, Sminkari, and Nefernefrawatin, they're stricken from the record. Okay. I mean, these people trash their temples. They get their chisels out and they chisel their faces out of like the stone. That's why there's like very little art left over from this period. These people, they've been fucking through it.
Yeah.
And over 20 years, their lives had been uprooted and
it's probably me in a past life. They were
smashing shit. You know, after like a really crazy football game, they have riots in the city.
Yeah, mom mentality, man. It's real.
Hammers and chisels, I'm telling you.
They just, everything was fine.
And the last thing that this little boy king did was change his name. Oh, to remove all association with the Aten religious cult, he changes his name. His name is now Tutankhamun, but you probably just know him as King Tut.
What?
Yeah.
That's like the only one I know. And that's all I know is like there was a King Tut.
Yeah. And if you want me to tell you more about King Tut, you can join our Patreon because we're going to be doing a Patreon episode about him.
Oh my God. And that's a fucking Coco episode.
And that's a Coco episode.
And she's on your arm.
And she's on my arm. And she's on my arm not because she was a heretic queen who's like, hey, I'm better than you. Worship me. She's on my arm because she's like my nod to feminine beauty and power and getting shit done as a mother. Like, I will take over this kingdom and put on my mustache. Mm-hmm. Who knows what actually happened with that? The Sminkari thing is a stretch for me, honestly, but I love it.
So I love it so much.
And I just love the idea that they attribute so much power to this woman.
Yeah.
That, like, she could have, though.
Yeah.
She could have, guys.
I love her. I don't know, like, a lot of Egypt stuff, but you, like, made me love it. Like, you, like, had me at, like, the whole wedding thing. I was like,
yeah.
I haven't recovered from gold powder.
I know.
Honestly, I was just like, wait.
So much.
I rooted for him for so long.
I know, but he was a little bit of a tyrant.
That wasn't great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Coco.
Fun, huh?
So fucking fun. Now it's time for a fresh cup.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for a fresh cup.
Ooh, my first fresh cup.
Your first fresh cup ever. You know what? I got a fresh cup. Here's full disclosure. Full disclosure, this is not the same day or location that Coco were recording Nefertiti.
Nope.
And so let me just give you a quick fucking fresh cup about my morning before we get into the actual fresh cup.
Oh, yeah. Right? Bad morning for Maddie.
It's been a complete shit fit. I, like, wake up, all is fine. My family's coming into town today, and so I'm recording this, and then I'm recording a mythology episode, and I have to wrap it all up by noon to go, like, meet up with them. And I had everything all, like, ready and set to go, and it was going to be a great morning. My dog throws up all over the place. Not just normal dog throw up, but like she at some point ate cat shit. And so it's cat shit dog vomit.
That's
all
so,
over.
So awful.
It's
so
really
awful.
Bad. Yeah. I'm not going to describe it to you because we're all friends here. I am a mom. And I'm, like, okay with things like that. And it was not okay. I, like, gagged a lot. And then my body, you know, if you're an old listener, hello. If you're a new listener, I'm sorry. But it was about, you were going to find out one day that I just throw up a lot. It's just,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
just, like, a lot. It's a normal thing for me. And so I start gagging. And my body's like, oh, cool, we're puking, obviously. And so then that starts happening. I have to get my two-year-old up and ready to drop off at my mom's so I can record. And I'm trying to do that. And so I get him to my mom's and he throws his milk at me and the lid comes off and it's all over her kitchen. So then I had to like clean all of that up and then come back home and I spilled coffee all over my white shirt. We are not the same Maddie and Coco that you just listened to.
No, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Nope. That was a really relaxing evening. We had so much energy and we'd been drinking a bit. We are both moms and we both don't get to like travel or do those things because mom life first, right? But so we had all this good vacation girl energy. And then today it's that was not the energy. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm still wearing the shirt. That's where I'm at with it all.
Oh, you've just accepted it at this point.
Oh yeah, the fucking coffee stain on my shirt is part of who I am today, and I'll probably meet my family in it and be like, you know, there's mascara blobbed on my face and coffee on my shirt.
Dawn dish soap. Yeah. Fine. It'll come right out.
Dawn fucking dish soap.
It fixes everything.
I have a little bit rubbed into it right now, and I'm gonna rinse that shit out, and it's gonna be.
This is not even a commercial for Dawn. They don't pay us. Nope. You could sponsor us, Dawn, if you're listening. They're not listening.
They're not, but they could be. That should be like who we reach out to. It's called Spill the Mead.
Because when you spill things, you need to clean it up with Dawn.
Everyone pause. We're going to record this on a different day. We're calling them right now. God. Okay. Anyway, but I do have an actual fresh cup here.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
And this is a young love fresh
young
cup.
Love. Yeah, a lot of our stories are about young love or young forced marriages.
Yeah, so this one, it's a 13-year-old and his 14-year-old girlfriend.
Oh, sweet and baby puppy love.
And he's literally on like, "Am I the asshole?" on Reddit right now. Okay. So I have no clue what this is going to be. Okay. We're going to see. At the end, though, I am going to say this right now. At the end, he says, "Am I the asshole?" And in parentheses, it says, "By SA, I mean kissing without permission and hugging." So I think that's going to be important. Let's hear him out. 13 is rough. 13 is like, what is that? Seventh, eighth-ish,
probably like the end of seventh grade, beginning of eighth, because then you turn, about there.
Jesus, I don't, like, not gonna speak for everyone here, but for me personally, those were, like, shit show years. Like, everything was so dramatic. Yep. Like, yeah. So I don't know. I definitely did not have a little boyfriend, though.
I definitely did not. I was not the girl that had boyfriends
in
school.
No, I didn't get a boyfriend.
Boys didn't look at me.
No, God, no. I don't even think it registered to them that I was an option to have a crush on. I didn't get a boyfriend until like high school.
I didn't get a boyfriend until like senior year.
Okay, we were high school bloomers.
High school boyfriend, he was super great. He was older. And then, 9/11 happened. And then all the boys shipped away because he was in the military. So we did some long distance Afghanistan letter writing. But that fizzled out after a while.
That is like, as a high school like girl too, that is like so romantic.
It was so tragic
because that high school relationship is fucking everything. My high school ass thought that like he was the goddamn one. Anyways, these kids are fucking 13 and 14. Okay. Let's see what they're up to. So the other month, me, 13 male, and my friend, in parentheses, 13 male, started playing Minecraft. Oh, God.
Well, isn't that how it all starts? It's Minecraft. It's a gateway to teen romance.
I feel like I knew that before this whole thing even started. That's a very sweet. They're going to build that stable relationship, just like that stable foundation that they're building in Minecraft right now.
Yeah, brick by brick.
Brick by brick. Uh-oh. It said friend in quotes. That's not good. Did I say parentheses? Sorry. I meant quotations.
It didn't even register to me. Like, I know the difference, but I didn't. You were doing the hand quotes and I was
doing the hand quotes. Yeah. That changes the context for everyone else. Like, no, friends and fucking quotes. Like,
quotes.
And my friend. Like, uh-oh. So anyways, they started playing Minecraft. He decided to add his girlfriend, 14 female, and let me tell you, I was in love with her, but I didn't think anything of it because I was good friends with this guy at the time and I didn't want to ruin their relationship or anything.
Okay, oh God, good intentions.
I was gonna say, I feel like there's gonna be a but, my guy.
Yeah.
Then after all that, a week later, me and her stayed up on a FaceTime call. And we had a good time. And then all of a sudden, she asks me out. Oh, no. Okay. See, this is so much. This is 13 and 14. This is seventh grade shit. For everyone else but Coco and I. I just like wanted like one friend in seventh and eighth grade, and like these kids are like having like a love triangle.
I had friends, but I was just the weird girl, and boys did not date me.
Yeah, no, I'd say, well, what's dating back then? You know,
I know, but I didn't like get asked to the dances, and I didn't have a boy to hold hands with. Like, you know what I mean?
You don't want to peak in seventh grade. I did. I will say I had it a little like different there because I went to like this extremely small religious school, so we did not have dances. And like, again, it was so small. It was like the same, like new kids would come in and some kids would leave, but I would say like the same 10 kids from like kindergarten onwards were in your class kind of thing.
Oh, no, Maddie, 100%, because my school is very small. Not religious, but there were only 34 kids in my graduating class. And it was like through kindergarten through senior year, those were the kids. Everybody was either somebody's cousin or
best friend from forever. Like,
not me, because we moved from California. I'm not related to anybody, but.
Yeah, no, yep. I moved from Idaho to Hawaii and I was an only child. So I had no one. That's why I wanted that friend. I'm just over there trying to have a friend, you know. Now we're fucking funny. And have great personalities and are fucking secure and are happy and burn sage. So.
And we both have fabulous friend circles.
When you know who you are and you find those people that you fucking connect with and like those are your people, you know.
All my little weirdos have gathered around me and I love it.
Well, I'm so happy. Oh my god, okay, so back to this. It's getting messy, but according to him, you know, they stayed up on that FaceTime call. She asked him out. Now, to people who are not 13, it seems that the logical answer would be no, but I have a feeling that maybe that's not where this is going. Then all of a sudden she asks me out, and this is the love of my life at the time, so I say yes.
Oh, sweet baby.
At the time, he's like aware, you know. He's like, this is the love of my life right now. It's a very
feelings are valid even if you're young. My son is 16. And side note, I'm sorry, I have to take you on a little journey really quick about that. So he had this girlfriend and they were real cute, and then it ended. And he sends me a message and he's like, Mom, we broke up and she won't give me my sweatshirt back. And I was like, buddy, I just want you to know this is a really good life lesson for you. Ex-girlfriends, they just have your hoodies. They just do. You're not going to get it back.
No, baby,
it's hers forever now.
Yeah, that's not your sweatshirt. Now, the second you guys started going out, whether it was in her possession, whether she had ever seen it before or not, that became her sweatshirt.
Yeah, and he's like, but that's my AC/DC one. I really, really love it. And I was like, yeah, you date a girl, you'll lose a hoodie. That's the trade.
That's a hard lesson that you got to learn. You got to learn on site. Okay. This is the love of my life. So I say yes. He says yes. Then a few weeks later, he found out and he guilt tripped her into getting back with him.
Oh, no.
Yep. And then in parentheses, he puts, and I know I sound like a dick here, but just wait. Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
A little foreshadowing.
He's a very self-aware 13-year-old.
Yeah, like, he is.
I am in love with her. She is the love of my life at the time. And like, I realize this sounds really bad. Okay. But like, hear me out. I'm here for him. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We haven't gotten to the essay thing. Okay. I'm connecting dots. After all of this, about a few months later, me and him are still friends. He has forgiven me and stuff, but he doesn't let me speak to her, which I was sad about, but I was like, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is not very long. Like, we're almost done. Then all of a sudden, me and her start talking again in secret, which I know sounds bad again, but wait.
Okay, we've been waiting.
I'm here, sweetheart. You have like 2 sentences left. And into the first week of us starting to talk, she tells me that he's been SAing her for the past 9 months. Okay, so again, that means kissing without permission and hugging.
Okay, so he's now just like, he's got to rescue her.
Yeah.
What he thinks in his brain and his 13-year-old knight in shining armor business.
Right, because like she's 14. Like you're not going to like set that boundary at 14. And like this other, she's apparently just a very
easily persuaded, sounds
like. Yes. And you know, and he's like coming on a little strong. She's like, you know what, don't kiss me. Like you didn't ask me if you could kiss me first. You're just assuming you can and don't. Like, I get it. For the past 9 months. 9 months is a long time.
That is a long time.
That is a long...
When you're 13 and 14, that's a very long time.
9 fucking months, dude. God, and then he adds her to Minecraft and like...
All hell breaks loose.
Oh, man. So, okay. So I'm like trying to help her and stuff. And she tells me she loves me. And I get back with her. But they haven't broken up yet because she's scared of what he will do. And again, I don't know that that necessarily means like a violent situation, but like, you know, there's a lot of like breaking up and getting back together going on here. And so we can assume that this guy probably isn't going to take it well. I don't know. The first comment is, I think we need more details. It's all just too immature for right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
hey, you guys. Yeah. Someone does say this must be before he added this on there, but this does give clarification. Someone asks, what is SAing? I hope it's not what I think it is because you guys are 13. Right. And he says, like, the guy doesn't do anything bad, but he kisses her and stuff without asking first. So that is 100% what we're talking about here.
Okay. Which is still not cool.
No, it is absolutely not. And like, you don't do that. People get in it though. The girl is the bad guy in this situation. Like, people are like throwing her under the bus here.
I mean, honestly, she's back and forth, and I understand she's young.
Fucking 14. But, yeah.
But we're all still not a cool thing to do.
No, again, this is all like, God, if they could all learn the lessons from this, like the lessons that are so there to all of us, you know, right now. Like, if they can learn all of this right now, they're gonna be like so good to go, man.
Yeah,
like they're gonna be so like emotionally mature moving forward. I mean, the general consensus is he's not the asshole. The general consensus is really like, you guys, none of you can be the asshole because you're babies. And I think that's correct.
Why? But you will be the asshole if you don't learn from this situation.
Yeah,
you can't do that to your friends. She's just kind of going back and forth between you two, and that's ultimately gonna be really bad for your self-esteem.
Yep. Yeah, it's hard to learn how to set those boundaries again in seventh grade, and she does need to do that. Yeah, he's got to kind of be a better friend here. The friend needs to also learn boundaries.
Yeah, and like 100%.
Learn that, yeah, like everyone has a big lesson here.
What you should be doing at this age is learning.
Not getting married, you know?
No.
Like back in the day, these kids would have been married by now. Margaret Beaufort, at this girl's age, would have had a 2-year-old, my son's age.
That is awful. Hey, buddy, just set some boundaries for yourself and do not give her your hoodie.
Hang on to that hoodie, my dude. That girl's got both their hoodies.
Oh, she does.
She got them both already.
Do you think
already.
It's like a power thing? Like, she walks into school, whose hoodie is she going to wear today?
They're both hanging in her locker. Like, to play those cards. Like, that's some 13, 14-year-old shit going on. There is hormones all over the place.
All
hormones
over the place.
Hormones are overflowing in your body. They're moving up into your brain. And, like, that's science. Like, first of all.
Yeah, that is exactly how science works, Maddie.
That's what puberty is. It's when your hormones overflow so much that it seeps around your skull and your brain just sits in this little floating bubble of it. And it's, then.
Yeah, like hormone stew.
And you ruin the Minecraft triangle. You guys, you could have had something beautiful.
You could have built such a fantastic Minecraft, what, village? I know my kid plays it, but I don't pay attention.
Yeah, Minecraft,
he builds things and he mines for things. I don't know.
I think they're all, like, doing different stuff on Minecraft. Like, maybe summer builders, summer miner. Maybe it all goes hand in hand. Listen, I don't play video games. All right, thank you for hanging through that just tale of young love. Good luck to them. Good luck to you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Life.
Am I saying fuck too much?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no.
All right. So.
All right. Say it more. Say it so much more.